Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Now the fun begins.
23, make it 24 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, of course, July 25th, 2020. July 25th, 2021. This is a Sunday edition. 2 hours, of course. We start at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, like 1,000 other internet platforms. And we come to you live as far as the video stream is concerned at twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Now, we take it from the city by the bay, some say the city by the gay, to Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and bring in one of my good friends, Jacob Stitch Duran. Stitch, how's life treating you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Pedro. Thanks for having me on again. You know, it's always nice to spend Sunday afternoon with Pedro.
Okay, let's talk about Dennis Alexio, man. I mean, he was the kickboxing king, and you were promoting kickboxing back in the day. Talk about Alexio and how he made his way through the world of kickboxing.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a pleasure to just to work with him, you know, until MMA fighters came into my life. He was the best athlete I'd ever seen. You know, they retired his high school number and football and baseball. But yeah, a great athlete. You know, it was good working with him. And it's funny you bring up Dennis Alexio, because I'll be doing a show in Sacramento August the 6th, and the promoter is Nasser Navarone, that used to be the sparring partner for Dennis, and I'd worked his fights also. So that's the looks like the full circle is coming around.
60, get this, his record, get this, what, 68 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw, and 68 knockouts. No, let me get 72 total fights, 68, 2-1 with 1 no contest. Yikes, 63 knockouts.
Yeah, you know, Pedro, and the majority of those knockouts were brutal. He had a great turning back kick. He had great body shots, you know, and I think as a boxer, he's like 12-1 or 12-2 and all that. But, I tell her, powerful. Everything he did was with power.
Yeah, because I remember I used to read Jack Fisk's column, and Jack used to say, Dennis Alexio, kickboxing champion, and you know, Jack used to downplay the kickboxing aspect of combat sports back then because it wasn't the norm.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, kickboxing just never really picked up like it did in Europe and all that. But nonetheless, you know, it was nice to at least to probably be one of those pioneers that did kickboxing here, because you know, I work with Ray Odonio, that was a great boxer converted into kickboxing. You know, and just it was nice to work with a lot of different fighters.
I thought Ray was a little bit overrated as a boxer, but anyway, on that's just on a personal note. On a kickboxing note, you know who I really thought had good crossover capabilities, but he just couldn't make it, was this guy, and he was a United States champion at one point in time, Dale Apollo Cook. Remember him out of Oklahoma? You remember him?
Yeah. Very fancy kicks and everything, and you know, if he would have been that made the transition, he would have been the guy that was on his toes all the time, and you'd have to cut off his ankles.
No doubt about that. So what are you doing these days? As far as, I mean, I see you on TV often, but are you signed with this company or signed with that company or a free agent? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I stay as a free agent, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, we should have been talking about the Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder fight, the experience that I had in the dressing room and during the fights. But as you can tell, you know, Tyson tested positive for COVID, so that fight was out. But, no, I'm doing good. They're starting to reshoot they're starting to film the documentary that they're doing on me. It's called Based on the Book, From the Fields to the Garden. So next week I'll be going back to Planada, where I grew up as a farm worker, and they'll be interviewing friends and family and what have you not. And then at that same point, they're interviewing Andre Ward and Virgil Hunter, Cain Velasquez, and Javier Mendes, which were kickboxers, and of course, and then Nate Diaz. So it should be exciting. And doing that and, you know, just kind of working with a CBD company that created a cream for cuts for the healing process, and that continues to grow. And, you know, got my own product line, Stitch Premiums, which is available at Cutman for Hire Supplies. But, you know, the brand that I created, Pedro, now people are noticing that there's some value in showing my face or my experience. So doing things, I got a couple movies in the pipeline. And so, yeah, I've been blessed, man. You know, this pandemic kicked in, and I did like 34 shows with Top Rank and have another one with them August the 14th. So I've been blessed, man. I thank God like you every day, you know. And here I am talking to you.
You know, another that female sprinter was excluded from the Olympics because of weed, this and that. You know, it's sort of like legal in so many states and this and that. But yet people still go to prison for weed in Texas and Florida.
Oh, yeah. If I remember, I think in Texas before, that was like an executional crime. and they just don't change. But it's funny you bring up that, because there was a company that contacted me that I met with, actually, and I went and saw their growing patterns. But it's a CBD and cannabis company. And, you know, we're still in the stages of, you know, they want me to work in the CBD business with them. But I'm already hooked up with CBD in it with that cut cream. But nonetheless, you know, they were talking about maybe using my name as in some cannabis products, like the rolling papers would be called the Wrap, you know, by Stitch. You know?
That's pretty cool.
I told this one scientist that puts all these formulas together and the different cannabises. I said, you know, of all the weed I ever smoked throughout my life was when I was in Thailand. I said, if you could create a strain like that, we could call it Thai Stitch. You know, so we'll see what happens, Pedro.
I'm gonna tell you the secret off air one of these days about the weed from Thailand. I'll tell you right now, the reason why it was so good is it was dipped in opium, and that's the honest to God truth, because one of the Hallinan brothers got caught for trying to smuggle 20 tons of the stuff back into the United States from over there. But the bottom line is that weed, the reason why it was so good is that it was dipped in opium.
Well, that's what they said, man. But, you know, shit, we smoked that.
Ooh, watch the language. Thai Stitch. Stitch.
Yeah, anyway. But boxing is good. You know, okay. I saw Dave Feldman when Mayweather fought in Miami, and I hadn't been doing the bare knuckle fights because of this COVID and the traveling. But hopefully I'll be back with them in August.
Now, the bare knuckle fights, is that a sport, or is it really a sport? I mean, how do you strategize a bare knuckle fight?
Yeah, it is a sport, and I tell you what, I'm a big fan of it just for the entertainment value as a fan. But, you know, when I first started working with them in their first event, everybody was going to the head, you know, and, uh-huh. and breaking their hands or having injuries. But now they realize that, you know, you work from the cheek down, the body up, and, you know, you'll still end up with sore hands and all that. But, yeah, cuts are pretty much guaranteed.
Because that's a good one. I'm a cut, man. Cuts are pretty much guaranteed. In other words, the work is good, no doubt about that. So as far as Bare Knuckles concerned, have they done okay as far as their pay-per-view numbers concerned? I mean, are they making money, or are they losing?
No, I think, you know, Dave Feldman does a great job, man. I wish, you know, all these promoters were like him. But
what's his name again?
Dave Feldman.
Okay.
From Philadelphia originally. And, yeah, super, super guy, man. And but I think Shaq O'Neal has partnered up with him. And, you know, now they're making models or those little statues of the fighters and all that. So, yeah, they're doing a good job, man. They're kind of doing it a lot faster than what the UFC did when it came to growth.
Stitch, when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs, I got a problem with them in the world of combat sports, because if you're hitting baseballs, that's cool. If you're hitting golf balls, that's cool. If you're swimming, okay, you can cheat this and that. But if you're hitting other people and you've got a distinct advantage over the other guy, I got a problem with that. I have a problem with it. TJ Dillashaw came back after a 2-year suspension for steroids. Of course, he's taken that fight with Henry Cejudo. And speaking of Henry Cejudo, the reason why I bring him up is that he, former bantamweight and flyweight champion of the UFC, he just sort of walked away from Dana White because Dana wouldn't pay him any money, huh?
Yeah, that's from what I understand. You know, there's a big issues now, you know, with all that being exposed, which was always exposed, but now you're getting people that are bringing up those, you know, those moments. Jake Paul is a big advocate on fair pay, you know. I'm a fair advocate on fair pay.
Me too.
It's the only way it should, you know, so.
But the USC made $279 million last year, and I call him a pimp, and that's just my opinion. Being a former police officer, I know some good pimps. I knew some good pimps, and Dana White is the pimp of all pimps. I mean, any pimp that can get his client to work for 8 to 10 cents on a dollar is like, an incredible negotiator. But that's how that's the leverage that Dana White has over these guys. They made $279 million. They grossed $279 million last year, did the UFC. And according to stats, only maybe 10% of that, maybe 12% of that went to the fighters. Man, there's something's wrong. We need to do an NFL type of thing with the UFC.
Yeah, I think, you know, the average that, you know, article that I'd read before and all that, that, you know, they were getting paid like 18%, where all these other major sports, they're at, you know, 49, 50, 51%. So, yeah, the program has to be changed for sure. You know, I mean, how much money can you make without sharing the profits? And, you know, what's only fair is fair. And unfortunately, all these guys are independent contractors. So, you know, if it didn't have the initials UFC, these guys, you know, they wouldn't take a hit as much as they have. You know, a lot of these guys are doing it because to reach that plateau of UFC is instrumental in a career-changing moment for them.
True, but you've got guys like Jorge Masvidal that sells out Madison Square Garden like a couple of hours. He gets $500,000 and a $50,000 bonus.
Oh, no, I'm with you 100%. You know, I made that comment when Ben Askren got $500,000 just to fight Jake Paul and get knocked out early. You know, so that's a big disparity there.
Now, speaking of Jake Paul, I was sort of thinking he was a negative on boxing, but the fact is he got more people looking at boxing than probably would be looking at boxing before, and they're squares. And I'm big for bringing squares into boxing, but squares spend money and they buy tickets.
Oh, listen, I'm a big advocate. Maybe because I've done all the shows, right? And but I see the value behind it on a marketing aspect. Someone like The Zone that works on subscription, you know, and the first one I did, KSI and Logan Paul, and I think both of them had like 20 million followers each. To me, that was unbelievable. But if you get a small percentage of those that link on to the Zone to watch that fight, then they made a lot of money. You know, so yeah, it's the changing of the time.
Real quick, the Zone, it looks like Canelo and Caleb Plant, September 18th, is going to go on pay-per-view, some type of Showtime or Fox pay-per-view instead of going on the Zone. So he is the ultimate free agent, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, he's a blue chip fighter, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, I want to wish you the very best of luck. Of course, you're always rocking and rolling down there in Las Vegas. Of course, you were like one of the few people that moved to Vegas that we probably need still here in California, but we'll get by. We'll get by, no doubt about that. Say hello to your lovely wife for me. I know the family's good and stay healthy and this kind of stuff, man. And anytime you want to spend some time with me, Stitch, you just give me a call. You know that.
All right, I love it. Thank you, Pedro. Appreciate it.
The great Jacob Stitch Duran, folks. Cutman Extraordinary. Check him out on Facebook, Jacob Stitch Duran. Of course, he's like the Cutman to the stars, the undisputed heavyweight champion of Cutman when it comes to both boxing and mixed martial arts. I kid you not. In the story, of course, Sonny Morrison, one of my early trainers as far as boxing was concerned. I think I lost one fight with Sonny in the corner. Anyway, he went to Sonny and said, "Can you teach me how to be a Cutman?" And Sonny said, "No, go learn somewhere else." He did go learn somewhere else. He became a superstar. Sonny never made it past the club level. Bottom line is, karma, baby! You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Monster on a Leash of the Break!
Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.